If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer Bully Ray and I talk all about Monday Night Raw from last night. First of all, we have new WWE Raw Tag Team Champions with Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy. Completely a surprise. A lot of people thrown off. Should they be the new tag team champions or should it be AOP? We talk about that on today's episode. Plus, in the first hour of Raw, we got a dandy. Andrade against Rey Mysterio in a ladder match for the U.S. title. And man, what a match it was. Plus, there's a certain MVP in Zelina Vega that we talk about. Also, we get into Ricochet, his promo, and the punt heard around the world right between the knees on Ricochet from Brock Lesnar. We get into that, and then we get into the Rumble and the lack of NXT presence going in to what we expect to be a big show on Wednesday on NXT. All that and more right here on the Busted Open Podcast.
I don't know about you, but when that match ended last night, all of a sudden I looked down at my phone and smoke was coming out of it. It was on fire! People just tweeting me left and right. The loyal nation. Bully, what the F is going on? Why? Why are Seth and Buddy the tag team champions and not the AOP? I mean, I don't know. Did you guys, LaGreca, were you getting the same tweets or not?
Yeah, and we talked about it last week. I said, wow, this is set up perfectly for AOP to become tag champions, Buddy Murphy to be a U.S. champion, and Seth Rollins to go after the heavyweight championship. Obviously, that's not the way they're going to go because, and once again, Bully, two singles wrestlers thrown together and beating an established tag team like what we saw last night.
Okay, first things first. Are you shocked?
No.
I don't know why anybody would be shocked. This is the WWE's MO when it comes to tag team wrestling at times. Now, I know that there in the past, when you have a group, it's like, well, if you have a dedicated tag team, the dedicated tag team wins the titles, and then one guy wins the heavyweight championship. Maybe one guy wins the Intercontinental. But I was not shocked at all last night to see this happen. And I think the reason why the WWE decided to do it is pretty simple and crystal clear. Do you have an opinion on it? Alex, do you have an opinion on it?
Alex?
First thing I thought when I saw it was that they're already trying to create dissension among the Messiah and the other apostles, Bully, for lack of a better term.
Apostles, wow, that's a great term.
Like, I just thought, okay, you have a tag team already among your ranks in the AOP. Why would they not be the ones going up against the Viking Raiders for the tag team titles? And if that were the case, that should not be on a Monday Night Raw. That should be on a pay-per-view because that's a tag team match I want to freaking see. But they went the opposite direction. They splashed together Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy. And now I feel like they're doing that just so that they can get the AOP jealous and someone's going to turn already.
Well, a few things coming off of what you said. First of all, when the announcement was made, you kind of see AOP look at each other. So maybe that's going to start some dissension between the four. And that's kind of weird that you're already going to planting a seed of dissension already when this, you know, just kind of formed, this faction just formed. The other thing, too, is you're right. That's a pay-per-view match. That's a Royal Rumble match to see who the new tag team champions are. Or maybe even a holdover to possibly a WrestleMania match. And third of all, that wasn't even the main event on the show last night. And again, it's two singles wrestlers getting thrown together. As you said, it's become commonplace beating an established tag team. I'm not going to be quick to say that there's a lot to be at fault, but very interesting the way they played this out.
I can understand why you guys would think dissension based on the fact of the way the AOP looked at each other, but it is entirely too early in this act to go with dissension. They are going to invest time in this. This Monday Night Messiah thing will get pushed. Seth is a top guy. They got that shirt out already. The Monday Night Messiah is a great moniker for him. It's a very David Koresh-esque gimmick, very cultish, Jesus-like, with his disciples. I would not be surprised if by the end of this, I don't know who the guys would be, or maybe even a girl or two, but I'm not surprised if there would be 12 disciples by the time this gimmick comes to an end, and the 12 disciples will do the bidding for the Messiah. And if that's not the plan, it should be the plan, because that's a damn good idea. To me, it's pretty simple why they went with Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy. Dave, let me ask you this. Did you like the tag team match last night?
It was a good match, yes.
You'd say it's a good match, yes?
Yes.
Do you think the AOP could have had that good match with the Viking Raiders?
I don't think so.
Boom. There's your answer. The AOP are not ready to be tag team champions and have really good matches with every other tag team there. They don't have the polish. They don't have the reps. They don't have the ring time. When was the last time we've seen the AOP working on a steady basis?
No, we haven't in quite some time. It's been a while.
Right. So they might be working on house shows. They might be getting some reps under their belt there. But are you going to tell me that the AOP as a tag team has a better work rate than Buddy Murphy and Seth Rollins as a tag team?
No, they don't. It's not possible.
Not even close. It's not even close. And I like the AOP. I've liked them from day one. I think they have big plans for them. As a matter of fact, I'll pull back that curtain just a little bit. I know for a fact they have big plans for them. I know what some of their big plans were. I wish I could share some of them with you on the show right now. But I can't. Wrestler secrecy. Shh. Sworn to secrecy. That's the reason why. Plus, the AOP in this situation are the heavies. They're the heaters. Seth and Buddy have the championship, and the AOP can be your killers. Remember, I told you the AOP remind me of those two guys from Breaking Bad, the cousins, or the Salamanca brothers, I believe they were. They're just two badasses that will kick your ass at any given moment. But with the AOP, I think they've missed opportunities. I don't think last night was a missed opportunity, because I think Seth and Buddy are the better working team and will have better matches with other tag teams down the road, and we can use the AOP as the foils, the heaters, the heavies. I think they missed the boat with the AOP last week when they should have double power bombed the Big Show through the table, and they should have got the win, not Seth. So that's my take on that situation. I don't think the WWE went the right way. Everybody's bitching because, well, AOP is the tag team. AOP is the tag team. That doesn't mean that they are the right decision for what the WWE needs moving forward when it comes to babyface teams defeating Seth and Buddy.
And I think for right now, this is the play. I think AOP as that those henchmen, as you were mentioning, is the right way to go until they're back having chemistry again and put on matches where you can put them in a title match and it makes sense. The other thing is this. Listen, your U.S. title holder right now is Andrade. Doesn't make sense to have a match with Buddy Murphy and Andrade at this point to make him a U.S. champion. So you got to put that on the back burner. And I don't think anybody wants to see Seth Rollins in a championship match with Brock Lesnar right now. I mean, if Seth Rollins was to win the Royal Rumble on Sunday, I'm sure there's going to be great backlash because we just had Seth Rollins in that main event picture. Probably the play for right now, and it makes sense when you look at what happened yesterday, is the championship title being around Seth's waist is the tag titles with Buddy Murphy, at least for right now. Makes sense.
I'm obviously a dedicated tag team guy. If anybody was going to have a problem with them putting the championships on the two singles guys, as opposed to the tag team, it's going to be me. I had no problem with it last night because I understand it. I understand that the AOP needs more time under their belt. I understand that they need to be in the ring having better matches. That's the only way you get good, Dave. Slow and steady wins the race. You don't just want to throw the belts on them just because they're a tag team. Let's rattle off some of the other teams on Monday Night Raw. The Viking Raiders.
Yep.
The OC.
Yeah, the OC.
Give me another one. Come on.
Chase, I mean, on Monday Night Raw, there's really not a lot of teams that you can really venture to say that are tag team caliber. As a matter of fact, Bully, I mean, what have we said about the War Raiders? What have we said about the Viking Raiders? Like, they really haven't garnered any emotion from the fans. They really, you know, when they came out there, they really didn't get much of a response.
Street Profits, Alex, are another one.
And they're really more of like a comedy act right now than a tag team.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. With Seth and Buddy now as your champions, they have heat. Buddy has residual heat because he joined Seth, and Seth has the heat because he's doing well with the position that he's in. So now, the next time you see the Viking Raiders against Seth and Buddy, you're going to be more emotionally invested in the Viking Raiders just because you want to see them beat Seth and Buddy so bad. So that's why it's the better decision to get the championships on them. Because if the championships are on the AOP, are you really going to want to see the Viking Raiders beat the AOP? Yeah, maybe, but you're definitely going to see them beat Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy, because those are the two bigger scumbags in the group right now.
Yeah, and really looking at it, and Alex, you know, just threw out Street Profits. I mean, is there any really credible teams on Monday Night Raw that you can say it could be in the championship picture right now for those belts?
AOP, Street Profits, the OC, Hawkins and Ryder, and the Viking Raiders are the only male established tag teams on Monday Night Raw.
There you go.
And I wouldn't be surprised if coming out of the Rumble, you might see Owens and Joe back together working against Seth and Buddy. Because Owens and Joe versus Seth and Buddy, those are great tag team matches, man. They are going to those are going to be fun tag team matches. People will be firmly behind Joe and Kevin. They're going to want to see them win. Seth and Buddy going to have heat. People are going to want to see them lose. And we know that the actual wrestling matches, the athleticism, the spots, the psychology will be there. So I'd like to see those guys as a team.
And really, if they're not going to be in the main event scene because you have Brock there with Brock. You know, there's only so many ways you can go with Brock Lesnar. And we're going to find out who his challenger is going to be coming out of the Royal Rumble. I think this is actually smart by the WWE. If you don't have a place for him, use them. At least they're going after a championship title. So if you're going to have Joe and Owens together as a tag team going after championship titles, that means more than just having them being filler segments on the 3-hour Monday Night Raw.
So let me ask you this. After the reasoning I just gave you, if you had the pencil in your hand, would you have put the belts on the AOP?
Yes. No, I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have. I think they're played well being the henchman for Seth Rollins. Because if they're going to go with the Monday Night Messiah gimmick, then he is going to need the apostles. He is going to need those guys that are on his left and right hand side. AOP fills that role. And since they're not like, since they were gone for so long, you're like, you're right, I'm sure they're working on the house show circuit. But since you haven't really seen them team on TV and they don't have that chemistry together where you can get a match like we saw last night, that's the perfect role for them. Bully, the way you set it up, I think, is perfect for right now.
I think they made a good decision last night.
So sure, we've all got busy schedules and don't have time to spend hours at the gym. That's why there is F45, a 45-minute group workout that's effective as it is fun. F45 sweat dripping, heart pumping, high intensity workouts merge three leading edge fitness training styles into a functional training experience unlike any other. This experience, accessible to all fitness levels, is built on innovation, motivation, and results that creates an environment in which goals are met and exceeded. Whether your goal is to lose weight, build muscle, create healthy habits, or meet fitness-minded friends, F45 has something for everyone. Once you take your first F-45 class, you'll be hooked. The pulsing, upbeat team training atmosphere will make you feel welcome, and our thousands of exercise combinations will keep you guessing every day. So, are you ready to find your nearest studio and join the F-45 Global Fitness Community? Dial #250 on your cell phone and say F-45 membership. They'll send you a location link directly to your phone. That's #250, keyword, F-45 membership. Boy, there's a lot to get into when you talk about that matchup from last night. You know, boy, there was a couple of times out loud I was like, ooh, ah. I mean, that was that type of matchup between those two last night, Bully.
Thought they had a really good ladder match, enjoyed it, but there's one thing that killed the match.
What's that?
Any idea? Any idea? Bueller.
Orange whip.
Damn commercials.
Two of them during that match.
Yep. That's why I said commercials with an S. Two commercial breaks. Thank you. What's so funny?
He just could be a prick sometimes, but go on.
I cry for all the time. Damn it. I'm not doing my job well enough. I would have loved to have seen them try to air that match uninterrupted. Good match, strong match. I loved the first 10 seconds of the match. You know why?
Why?
Because the minute the bell rang, they both went out and went for a ladder. What's the idea? Climb the ladder, grab the belt, and they both showed me that they were smart enough to go get a ladder. Then they showed me that Rey outsmarted Andrade and hit him with the dropkick. So right off the bat, they established an semblance of psychology. And whenever you have a ladder match where you're climbing for a belt or a TLC match where you're climbing for a belt or a set of belts, you always want to put the emphasis on the psychology. Otherwise, it's just a throwaway gimmick match with weapons, blah, blah, blah. So right off the bat, they had me. I was happy to see them incorporate the psychology of going for the ladders. Like I said, I thought they had a really good match. They went for a couple of moves that took some precise timing. They didn't hit it perfectly, but they hit it good enough to get the point across. I like what they did with their bigger spots, their crash and burn spots. Everything seemed to work. And as I said on Twitter last night, man, standing ovation for Zelina. You might not think what she did was that big of a deal, but when I saw her run in the ring, climb the ladder, sit on top of the ladder, smack Rey in the face, she did it with poise, confidence, no fear, and she did it in heels. She climbed that ladder with more confidence than I see most guys climb those damn ladders. That's a 12-footer. That's not a 10-footer. She was all the way at the top. And when she was sitting, listen, climbing the ladder is one thing. Sitting on top of it on live television without having to hold the side so you're not rocking back and forth or having that fearful expression on your face, there was none of that. She looked calm, cool, and collected. She was a freaking Jedi up there. She hit the spot perfectly. She did a great job.
Yeah, I mean, she showed her athleticism. And again, even during that match, when Andrade would go through the ladder, just her facial expressions. I mean, Bully, we've talked about her a lot on this show. And obviously, you know, there's more to her work than just what we've seen in the WWE all her years in TNA. I mean, she's a star. I'm glad she's finally getting this break. Weekly, we see her on Monday Night Raw. I would love to see her get physical a lot more. I think she could be one hell of a wrestler. I know she's small in stature, but man, she makes it up with athletic ability.
I definitely think that she can bring it when it comes to the athleticism. And speaking of bringing it, I'm going to talk a little bit about Liv Morgan later on in the show. About bringing the physicality and whether or not I thought she brought the physicality last night. So stick around for that. You're not going to want to miss it, or you Liv fans. But yes, I agree with you. I'd like to see more out of Zelina. I was impressed and happy for her last night, because I know within this big ladder match between stars like Andrade and Rey, I know it's just a small moment in time, but that small moment in time meant so much. And you're right about her facials, Dave. The expressions that she brings across helps to tell the story. It's like any other great manager or valet or anybody else that's, you know, that's out there. Like if you watch Heyman's face, he's so subtle when he's out there with Brock. He sells the excitement of Brock, you know, beating the shit out of somebody, but he also sells the horror if anybody's taking it to Brock or a close false finish where you'll get that wide-eyed, open-mouth look from Paul where it's like, oh my God, we were 1 second away from our world, you know, crashing down upon us. Zelina does a great job with that every time she's out there. She always looks phenomenal in her gear or the outfits that she wears. I mean, she's a great complement to Andrade. But let me ask you this realistically, Dave. If they ever branched her off on her own in the women's division, would they give her the ball?
Probably not. And that's what would worry me. They should, but, you know, there's always going to be that worry. But when you have the Charlottes and the Beckys of the world, listen, I don't know. She could get lost in the shuffle if they ever were to break her off from Andrade. And honestly, they've hinted at that. But watching what we saw last night, they should never remove her from Andrade. Selfishly, I would like to see it because I think she could really be good in the ring. But I don't know if they would give her the ball. And, man, I think she compliments Andrade to perfection.
I agree. And let's just say, for argument's sake, we always talk about we like real on our show. Whenever there's a real-life scenario that we can bring into the ring and tell some stories with it, that's the direction I love to go in. So what if we took real for 1 second? Andrade and Charlotte are engaged. Andrade is managed by Zelina. If there was some kind of angle that played out on TV and you were to get Zelina versus Charlotte Flair, sorry, man, that's a tough sell.
It is.
You can do it. Don't get me wrong. You can do it. There is a psychology to that match, but it's a tough sell because of the level of physicality and the size difference. Now, people might say, well, Rey Mysterio beat the Big Show. That's my example of there is a way to do it, but they would have to make it very believable with the level of physicality.
And of course, they would have to change Zelina's character because there is no way Zelina could go into that match being the heel going up against Charlotte. She would have to be the face that would be the underdog that fans would have to get behind.
I disagree.
Really? Why?
Yes. I think either one of them are interchangeable because Zelina has that. It's not about the size that makes the heel. It's about the intent. It's about the look on their face and what they do. I could definitely see Zelina, once getting Charlotte off of her feet, be able to target something on Charlotte, an elbow, a knee, an ankle, and truly go to work on it. And just in the intent and the physicality and the look on her face, I think that she'd be able to get heat on Charlotte. Now, am I talking about just a cold match going out there and doing it? Absolutely not. But if there was a story told that we got the right amount of heat on Zelina, yes, I think it could be done.
And, of course, Andrade and Rey Mysterio, they never disappoint. Those guys have tremendous chemistry together, and it showed again last night. I'm never going to get sick of seeing those two in the ring together.
I totally get that. I just want to go back to Charlotte and Zelina for a second, talking about how you can make it work. Have you ever seen a chef take ingredients that when the ingredients are this just sitting there on their own, you say to yourself, how the hell are those things going to taste good when you put them together? And then all of a sudden the chef puts them together and you have all of these amazing flavors that happen to blend well and it tastes really good.
Yeah.
That's the same thing with pro wrestling. You could do the same thing. If you have the right ingredients and the right recipe, you can make all of these different flavors come together and taste great. And that's why I think you could have Zelina be the heel and Charlotte be the face.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
Not Ricochet's finest moment last night on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, before we went to break, you said he did good. What
I didn't say, wait a second.
What'd you say?
If you go to the SiriusXM app and listen to the first hour on demand, where you can also get video clips of the show, I never said he did a good job. I said he tried. He gave it.
No, what did you say before? You said he tried. You said something else. You said like he did good.
I never said he did good. That would be a lie.
So,
he tried.
Should Ricochet stick to 450s or mic work?
But the 450s can only last you so long, Bully.
Exactly. Listen, the only way you're going to get better on the mic is by being out there on the mic. And we can sit here and we can have a little fun with Ricochet that his strength is not on the microphone. It's in the ring with his athleticism and his aerial skills and work rate and all that. But you're right. He did try. He went out there. He did his best. It's not his strong point. But the only way you're going to get strong is if you go out there and you swing. You have to swing at the pitch. You're not always going to hit a home run. Sometimes you might just get a bunt single. You know, last night, here's the thing about last night. When Ricochet comes out and he's standing in the ring with Brock Lesnar, nobody in the arena buys it. Nobody thinks Ricochet is getting the best of Brock Lesnar. Nobody thinks Brock Lesnar is walking away and is going to allow Ricochet to have the last word. And then Brock kicks him in the balls, and nobody even really cared.
Well, the most telling thing, Bully, is that during his promo as he's walking to the ring, he says, "I want to challenge you to a fight." And he pauses, dramatic pause, right now. And that usually when you get a challenge from somebody and you say right now, the place erupts because we're not going to get this on a pay-per-view. We're not going to have to wait 2 weeks. We're going to get this right now. The place erupts. It was like you could hear a pin drop in that crowd. Can I just challenge Brock Lesnar to a fight right now? But you're right. That whole setup and the way he presented it, the way he talked, and the way he went into that ring. Again, before going into that ring, he took a deep breath. Like almost like he couldn't believe he was actually getting in the ring and doing this. If you're not buying into it, how are we supposed to buy into it? And I don't think anyone in that crowd or anyone on TV actually thought they were going to get a credible match between those two last night.
He did not sound like he believed in himself. And when he said, "I want to fight and I want to fight right now," and like you said, you could hear a pin drop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Nobody was buying into it, Bully. No one.
And everybody knows that he ain't got a chance in hell right then and there of doing anything to Brock. Listen, a couple of months ago, we were talking about Randy and Ricochet. What did I tell you, what did I explain to you that Randy needed to do to Ricochet?
He needed to beat his ass to get some sympathy on Ricochet.
Beat the shit out of him. Otherwise, he's just a babyface who does a lot of moves in the ring. And like you said, and like I've been saying, that will only get you so far. You don't want them reacting to your moves. You want them reacting to you. You want them reacting to the things that you say. If they react to you first and the things that you say second, they're going to react even more when you do those moves. And you'll have to do less of those moves to get the same reactions. And that's working smarter. There is no doubt that when Ricochet is in that ring, he is an absolute pleasure to watch perform. Great matches. I don't think Ricochet could have a bad match with anybody. That's me putting him over to the moon when it comes to his wrestling and athletic ability and spot ability. I'll never forget the spot of him and Will Ospreay starting off that one match like 3 or 4 years ago, and Vader, God rest his soul, went crazy on those guys. But can Ricochet just go out there and stand there and soak in the adulation of the people just standing there? Not right now. Because there's no depth. And the more depth you have, the more the people will love you.
Let me ask you this, Bully.
Or hate you, for that matter. Watch this. Can MJF walk to the ring, not say a word, and get boos from the entire crowd?
Yes, yes.
There you go. There's my point.
Well, let me ask you this, because we had this discussion when we were talking about Seth Rollins, that his words are not his words. They were written for him. And sometimes when you know where there's a scripted promo, because you could just see there's no expression in the face that's of the person who's delivering the promo. I didn't see any expression on Ricochet's face. I didn't see an expression of fear. I didn't see an expression of anger. There was no expression. It was just Ricochet talking into a microphone. The only time he saw a little bit of anything is just before he walked into that ring. He took that deep breath. But even that seemed contrived. Is this a case of, hey, you know what? We wrote out a promo for you. Memorize it. Go out there and speak it into the microphone. Because it seems to me, listening to Ricochet and hearing his voice and seeing his face, that he was just memorizing a script that was given to him that he had to address to Brock. Am I wrong by saying that?
Ding, ding, ding. Circle gets the square. Johnny, tell him what he's won. Alex, this is where you say Dinty Moore Beef Stew.
Dinty Moore Beef Stew.
Yum.
You're absolutely right, Dave. It's a completely memorized promo. And you can see in his face that he's just trying to memorize the promo so he doesn't get any heat. And when you're just memorizing a promo, you cannot immerse yourself into the promo. It's like an actor or an actress when they memorize lines. The very first thing they do is they have to memorize the words that are in the script. Because first you commit them to memory, and then you put your passion into it. Then you put the emphasis into it. Last night, I didn't need to see any fear on Ricochet's face. I needed to see confidence. I needed to see a kid who might have known in the back of his head that he's going to get his ass kicked, but I don't care, because I'm going to be able to say that I stood up to Brock Lesnar and gave Brock Lesnar a fight. You know what, Brock? You might be scared. You might be scared of Ricochet. You might kick my ass. Heyman, you might spit in my face. But I don't care, because I'm not letting the people down. You know what, Brock? I'm going to get one shot in on you. I might punch you in the face. I might kick you in the face. But I'm going to get that one shot in where you will never forget the day that Ricochet came in this ring, got in your face, stood up to you, and got one in on you. You piece of shit. Now let's fight. You're going to be a beast, or you're going to be a bitch. There's your promo.
And I'm sure the communication before you went out there and delivered that promo is like, hey, Bully, we need you to go out there, cut a promo on Brock, how you want to get into the ring and show, hey, I can have a fight with you and I can kick your ass. Boom, right? I mean, that's probably the direction you would get, and you would deliver the promo you just did off the top of your head right here on the air. Why can't they do that on Raw? Like, because even if Ricochet went out there, and let's just say Ricochet stumbled on his words a little bit, or Ricochet maybe misfired on a line, it would be a hell of a lot better than what we saw last night, because at least you would get some emotion, and at least it would be believable. Listen, Ricochet might have hit every single word that he was told to deliver, but without having any emotion behind it, nobody bought it. And nobody cared. And the guy just got kicked in the nuts. He fell to the ground in pain, and he's moaning and groaning, and nobody gave a shit. So I would rather give him a microphone and say, hey, give us 15 seconds on your way to the ring before you get your ass kicked, than actually writing out a promo that he had to memorize and had no emotion behind it.
And did you hear the people? Once Brock blew Ricochet off and walked past him, and then Ricochet said, oh, what's wrong, Brock? Are you scared? Did you hear the people? They couldn't have cared less, because they knew the fate of Ricochet at that moment. Because Ricochet didn't make me believe that the fate was going to be any different than I originally thought when he came out. Ricochet was a dead man. And even though Brock kicked him in the balls, which is the most low-down, dirty thing you could do, people didn't care. Why? Because there's not enough depth in the emotional attachment to Ricochet. We are emotionally attached to his moves. If we put him in the right scenario and he does a run-in and he saves somebody and does a springboard forearm, yeah, we're attached to that. But as the man, as the performer, as the badass, or whatever he needs to be, he's not there yet. That's when he needs help. I'm glad they gave him a microphone last night, let him go out there, let him try, because everybody deserves an opportunity. But what he did with that opportunity last night is left open to interpretation from a fan base. I'm sure that there are plenty of Ricochet fans last night who were like, yeah, Ricochet stood up to Brock Lesnar. I could tell you from being on this show that that opportunity should have been maximized with maybe stronger verbiage, but even more than that, stronger emotion from Ricochet.
Did it hurt him last night?
No.
No?
Nope. Because you're not tuning in to see Ricochet talk. You're tuning in to see him wrestle. You're tuning in to see Ricochet do his spots. You're tuning in to Ricochet have great wrestling matches. Do you tune in to see what Ricochet has to say on the mic?
No, I mean, because we really haven't had many opportunities to hear him on the microphone. So when he came out with that mic, I was actually interested what he had to say, especially to somebody like Brock. Because as a fan of Ricochet, I'm like, oh my God, they're going to have him step up to Brock Lesnar. Now, I didn't think it was going to play out like what we saw from R-Truth last week, because basically that was just a replay of what he did to R-Truth. Now, R-Truth obviously made that more of an entertaining segment, probably the best segment on last week's Raw, where this might have been the worst segment on last night's Monday Night Raw. That's debatable when you look at the end of the show, but you know where I'm coming from. But that was yep. just to get the one line from Brock. Last week it was to say, that's what's up. And this week it was set up for him to say, not scared. You could have had that be anybody. That could have been anyone going to the ring last night. Didn't need to be Ricochet.
Next week when Ricochet comes out, are you going to turn the channel because you didn't like his promo this week?
No, but it's going to take a lot for me to buy in the next time he has a microphone. Like next week, he should just be in a match. But if they had him come out with a microphone next week, I think everybody's going to be, oh my God, what's going to happen here? Is this going to be a replay of what we saw last week?
I don't think we see him with the microphone next week. I don't know why we needed to see him with the microphone this week.
Yeah, I agree with that. 877-344-4893, 877-FIGHT93. Let's go out to the Busted Open Nation. Let's go out to Vinny in Staten Island. Vinny, what did you want to say about the Rumble?
Basically, I'm going to WrestleMania in April, my first WrestleMania, and I'm going to be heavily invested in the Rumble. I already know Roman is the odds-on favorite to win it. He's the most likely guy who's going to end up at the end. I'm more intrigued about who's the guy that's going to possibly step up to Lesnar. I'm a little concerned that it could be Cain Velasquez, because if I'm going to go, if this is gonna, like, I'm not going to tell you what WWE is going to do, but for my first WrestleMania, I'd rather see Lesnar defend the title against a Drew McIntyre or Samoa Joe or Kevin Owens and not a Cain Velasquez, because what happened in Saudi Arabia. You know, like, I'm going to be there for 5 hours. I want Lesnar to be in a good main event match with a top-notch opponent who's more well-deserving than Cain Velasquez.
Well, Vinny, I agree with you on that. And I think that the WWE has an opportunity to have somebody completely different. Bully, we talked last week about it being, you know, a returning superstar that could be a part of the Rumble that could possibly, you know, win the Rumble and face Brock Lesnar.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
We have 22 entrants into the Rumble right now. So far, we got Lesnar at one. We have Rollins, Owens, Joe, Reigns, Corbin, Ziggler, Nakamura, Strowman, Rowan, AJ Styles, Orton, Elias, Rey Mysterio, Ricochet, Drew McIntyre, Otis, Tucker, Rusev, Lashley, and then somehow they're going to eliminate themselves. Aleister Black, Buddy Murphy. I mean, that's 22 entrants for the Rumble. Doesn't leave a lot of room for surprises. And by the way, Bully, like, we always talk about, like, we can't call NXT the developmental brand anymore. NXT is on par with Raw and SmackDown. Are they? I mean, as of right now, there's 22 entrants to the Rumble. Not one of them are from NXT. So I don't buy into that NXT is on par with Raw or SmackDown, when, to me, the second biggest pay-per-view of the year, the Royal Rumble, there is no NXT presence at all at this Royal Rumble.
I don't think NXT guys should be surprises, but they have worked in the past as surprises. Remember when Adam Cole was a surprise?
Yeah.
That kind of worked.
But again, that's when NXT was perceived as a developmental brand. Do you really perceive it as something different when they have no entrance in the Royal Rumble so far and there's 22 entrants out of 30?
Maybe this Wednesday night somebody will get announced. Maybe they're saving the announcement for Wednesday.
Maybe. I mean,
wouldn't that make logical sense?
Well, here we are. We're at 22 out of 30 right now.
That gives us plenty of room for a couple of NXT guys, maybe a returning veteran, and a couple of really cool surprises.
I guess. I mean, we're probably going to get more wrestlers announced at SmackDown for the Rumble, too. I don't know if it's going to leave us a lot of vacancies for this year's Royal Rumble. Think about this. We have 22 entrants for the men's Royal Rumble. As of right now, we have 4 for the women. The women are going to have 30 entrants just like the men. And as of right now, we're less than a week away from the Rumble. They've announced 4 entrants for the women's Royal Rumble. Pretty surprising.
I'm sure we'll see everybody on the Raw and SmackDown roster for the women. Maybe an NXT woman or so. Maybe Io Shirai.
Maybe. I mean, and would that mean that she's still going to be a part of NXT, or are they moving her? And you know what? I'm going to say it, and I don't give a shit if people get angry. Does that mean they're going to move Io Shirai to the main roster? Because Raw and SmackDown is the main roster. NXT is not the main roster. It's not. It's not. You got 22 entrants to the Rumble, not one wrestler from NXT, and there's the NXT Worlds Collide pay-per-view. I mean, Worlds Collide, I don't even know if you call it pay-per-view. The takeover that's going to happen this weekend. It's the same formula that we saw from NXT. More and more as we go through this whole thing, putting NXT on USA was just a offensive move by the WWE to counterattack. Defensive, offensive, whatever you want to call it, against AEW. NXT is not part of the main roster. It's not. Not when you have the Royal Rumble and there's no NXT presence and they still have a takeover that weekend. It's not a main roster program. I'm sorry. I love NXT. I love NXT more than Raw and SmackDown. It's in the eyes of the WWE. I'm sorry. It's not part of the main roster. Am I wrong here?
When you talk about the perception of the main roster, I understand your point of view. Because for years, the main roster has been Raw and SmackDown.
Yes.
I get it. So it's going to take a while for people to be on board with calling NXT the main roster. Despite the fact that guys like me and you enjoy Wednesday night's NXT more than Raw or SmackDown most of the time. Do you really... Let me ask you this first. Will you be happy tomorrow night if you get one or two guys from NXT announcing that they're entering the Rumble?
Yeah, or maybe even an NXT match on the Royal Rumble show.
Why do you need that?
Well, I mean, because what you're getting this weekend is the Worlds Collide. It's a combination of NXT and NXT UK. I mean, why not have some matches? If you're part of the main roster, why not have some NXT matches on the Royal Rumble pay-per-view?
What match do you want to see on the Royal Rumble pay-per-view?
How about a match for the NXT championship? Because as of right now, that's not a part of Worlds Collide. So maybe have an NXT matchup for the championship on the Royal Rumble show.
Don't you think that this rant should happen on Thursday and not today? Because they might make up for it tomorrow.
Maybe. And you know what? Bully? And if they do, then you know what? Then this is thrown out the window. I'm just reacting to the fact as of right now, there's 22 entrants to the Royal Rumble, and not one of them are from NXT.
Let me ask you this. Truly, from NXT, who do you want to see in the Rumble? Because I only want to see one guy.
Who?
Keith Lee.
If you give me Keith Lee, I'll be happy.
I don't really need to see anybody else. A couple more SmackDown guys. Keith Lee, and the 2 or 3 surprises I know I'd like to see. I actually would like to see 4 surprises. I have my 4 surprises that I think would make incredible sense for WrestleMania.
Now, I would have to think that when you look at the Women's Royal Rumble, Bully, that there's going to be a huge NXT presence? Because as of right now, you only have four women announced for that Royal Rumble match. I mean, I would think that there's going to be, I mean, you could probably name off the top of your head four or five women from NXT that you would love to see in the Rumble. You mentioned one before with Io Shirai, Shayna Baszler. I'd love to see these wrestlers involved in the Rumble. I would think that there's going to be a woman's presence in that Rumble match. But when you look at the men's with 22, and you're right, they might announce a couple. But again, even if it's just one or two, how can you call them part of the main roster when already you have, you know, 10 wrestlers from SmackDown and, you know, 12 wrestlers from Raw?
If they are saving the announcement for tomorrow night, let's just take Keith Lee. If Keith Lee comes out tomorrow night and he says, you know what, I'm entering myself in the Royal Rumble, that's good enough for me because that's the only guy I really need to see. Do I need to see Dijakovic? Not really. Do I need to see Riddle? Not really, because I know they have no chance in hell of winning. Do I think Keith Lee has a chance? If I had to put my money on a long shot of an NXT guy winning the Royal Rumble, I'd say Keith Lee. And you know what? I'd be more than happy to lose that money if it means I get a moment in time with Keith Lee and Brock Lesnar. I told you I wanted the face-to-face with Keith Lee and Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. Yesterday on the show, Mark took it a step farther, and I loved his idea. I want to see Brock Lesnar standing there with Keith Lee doing that rise up right behind Lesnar, as we have seen Keith Lee doing for weeks on NXT. Man, what a moment. That's what I want to see. That's how we make a guy. That's how we help get a guy over. All of those other guys, we know they're not going to win.
I'm just saying, to have that kind of a presence. You know, you give me Keith Lee, I'm happy, and I would love to see that moment. It's just surprising to me, Bully, that Survivor Series was all about NXT. Survivor Series, you know, one of the big four pay-per-views of the year, and you would agree with me that that was really a spotlight and a shine to NXT. That was all about NXT. And now here we are, you know, for the Royal Rumble, and there's no NXT presence at all on the pay-per-view. I mean, that's very surprising and a huge difference from what we saw at Survivor Series last year.
Don't you think the Survivor Series push for NXT was more about the pressure that they were getting from AEW on Wednesday nights?
Maybe, but it worked. I mean, for the first time, you know, leading in, that week leading in, they beat AEW in the ratings. And the week coming out of that pay-per-view, they beat AEW in the ratings. Now it just seems like they've taken their foot off the gas. Why? You got three shows. You say all three brands are main roster. There's no more developmental brand. It's all main roster now. And there's no zero NXT presence as of right now at the Royal Rumble. Zero.
Who said it's main roster?
I mean, that's been their whole thing. It's on USA. But it's live. It's no longer a developmental brand.
Who utters the words, it's the main roster?
I guess probably me and the fans. Probably more than anybody else.
Does Triple H utter those words?
I know I've heard some NXT superstars say it. I know I've heard them say we're not developmental, we're the main roster.
I mean, that has been the push since they've moved live to Wednesday nights, is they're no longer developmental. You know, it's the NXT. I mean, again, they showed their worth at Survivor Series.
Listen, NXT is not a developmental brand, okay? It is a brand. But until Vince McMahon says that he deems it to be a main roster brand, I think everybody and anybody can say whatever they want. It's not going to really mean anything. We know that Hunter's doing a phenomenal job down there, and we know that they're doing such a great job down there that we like their show on Wednesday nights, most of the shows on Mondays and Fridays. But as far as it being the main roster, should NXT guys get an opportunity to be in the Royal Rumble more than guys on Raw or SmackDown?
Well, for
I don't know.
I mean, I would say yes. I mean, it's a live show on Wednesdays. It's part of their lineup. I mean, they've been promoting the hell out of it. Like I said, they put a hell of a spotlight on NXT at Survivor Series. Yes, I think they do need a presence at the Royal Rumble. 100%, especially when the takeover is a Worlds Collide takeover, where it's more about NXT UK than it is about the Wednesday night show.
If you are a guy on NXT, I'm not even a name doesn't even matter. And they told you, hey, you're going to be in the Rumble. You're going to be number 23. You go in there. You're going to get one elimination, and then you'll get eliminated by so-and-so, and then you're done. You'll probably be out there a total of 5 minutes. You think you really want to be out there?
I mean, it's the second biggest show of the year. It's the
you
Royal Rumble.
You mean nothing. You become forgettable. I don't want to be put in a spot where I am going to become forgettable. I'd rather not be in the match than be in a spot that makes me forgettable.
Interesting. 877-34.
Dave, really quick, can I counter this? So really quick, Bully, just I totally get what you're saying, because you're being sent out there to basically 5 minutes, your name, you fill a spot, they got 30 spots to fill, right? But the last two Rumbles, we've seen cool surprises where Andrade from NXT, when he was in NXT, made an appearance, and Adam Cole in NXT made an appearance. I would say both guys right now probably upped their stock as far as visibility was concerned with those two appearances in the Rumble, and are both doing pretty well for themselves right now. So is there a case to be made where a Rumble appearance could help you?
Absolutely, but that only if they have plans for you. They knew that they had plans for Andrade. They knew they had plans for Cole.
Gotcha.
That's why they put them in that spot. I believe they have plans for Keith Lee. So when you do see Keith Lee, if you see Keith Lee in the Rumble, and you see him have something memorable a la Andrade or Cole, that means they have plans for him, and they're using the Rumble as a means to help get him over and get him to that eventual end game.
But again,
does that make sense to you?
Absolutely,
and it makes a lot of sense. But let's just put the Rumble match itself aside for just a second, because, like you said, you know, I would think somehow, some way, Keith Lee is going to find himself in this Rumble match. But again, really quick, let's just go back to Survivor Series from November. Now, this was just 2 months ago, right? Team NXT won the Women's Survivor Series elimination match. You had Roderick Strong, your NXT North American champion, beat AJ Styles, you know, your United States champion, and Shinsuke Nakamura, your Intercontinental champion. You had Shayna Baszler, go up against Becky Lynch and Bayley, and Shayna Baszler won, beat Becky Lynch and Bayley. I mean, what a shine for NXT. To me, that was the WWE saying, NXT is no longer your developmental brand. It's live on Wednesdays. This is just like Raw and SmackDown. It's part of your WWE live lineup during the week. It's on USA. It's not a one-hour show on the network. We're live for 2 hours. And again, coming out of Survivor Series, they were beating AEW in the ratings. And now 2 months later, they have zero presence at the Royal Rumble? Zero.
It's a lot easier to give NXT a good presence in a pay-per-view like Survivor Series than it is the Rumble. Much easier. The Rumble is about the Rumble, and you're an individual with an entrance. And if they don't have big plans for you, you're coming in and you're getting thrown out. End of story. Unless you have plans to shock the world and an NXT guy were to win, then it's a different story. Now, yes, could I sit here and put the pencil in my hand and make a case for Keith Lee winning the Royal Rumble? Without a damn doubt. But unless that's the case, you don't really need a strong NXT presence, because they're just going to be bodies filling a spot. And if I have to have a body filling a spot, I just want it to be Keith Lee, because I'm going to make that one spot mean something.
And by the way, before Survivor Series, they did have an NXT takeover in War Games. So they had a takeover, and they had that amazing presence on Survivor Series. But like Bully just said, there's a big difference between Survivor Series and the Royal Rumble. And who knows what the NXT presence is going to be come WrestleMania 36.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.